is a God of surprises. He always does more than what we think he will do, acts in ways that even the prophets could not foretell. He is a God of surprises. Perhaps if we reflect back upon this last 4 weeks of Advent, each of us can maybe find some ways that God has surprised us. And no doubt, one of the great joys of Christmas is to wake up Christmas morning to a whole Christmas tree filled with surprises. It adds to the great wonder and mystery of the season. I wonder what is in that package. But you know, I started Advent this year really wanting to have a good Advent, to focus on the important things. I gave a great homily. I thought about how, you know, we should try to not get too wrapped up in the season. That don't let society dictate how we live Advent. That we should try to have some time for silence, time for prayer. And that was really good advice. And so with that in mind, I tried to do that myself. And I started off my Advent in a really wonderful way. I went on a little family vacation, just a couple days, with my mom and my dad down to Branson, Missouri. And while we were there, I had not been there before, but I was told that it's just wonderful at Christmas, with the place all lit up and carols being sung and people who really know how to keep Christmas. And I thought, that is a perfect thing to do to start off my Advent and focus on the right things. And when I got to Branson with my mom and my dad, I had an amazing time. It was a place unlike any place I'd been. We went to Silver Dollar City, a kind of a theme park there that's set in the 1800s. And everybody I met there wanted to wish me a Merry Christmas. And it was clear from all the performers and the people that worked there that when they said Merry Christmas, they knew who they were talking about. Each of them was very much aware of the fact that we need a Savior. They were thankful to wish me and everyone around them a Merry Christmas, not because of any shopping that they were wanting to do or anything like that, but really I found a place focused on Jesus. One of the highlights of the day down there is in the evening they have a big Christmas tree that they have a lighting ceremony for. 5:30 each evening they light the Christmas tree. I wasn't exactly prepared for how that would go because I showed up with thousands of people awaiting the Christmas tree lighting, and talk about a surprise. What I began to hear is, this evening we want to focus on the real meaning of Christmas. The real meaning of Christmas began in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. It talked about Jesus and how he was born to a small family, how he lived his whole life in poverty, told the whole story of Jesus and his ministry, culminating his passion, death, and resurrection, and then proclaiming Jesus as the Savior of the world as the Christmas tree is lit to thunderous applause from all those gathering around, and joy to the world is playing. Although it was the beginning of Advent, I felt a Christmas spirit like I hadn't in a long time, and perhaps the greatest part was that everyone knew why they were there. There was no one afraid to offend anybody by wishing someone Merry Christmas, and no one had to pretend that Jesus was not the star. Indeed, we went to all the performances, and every performer wanted to make sure, as they played their songs, many of them would say, look, the Frosty the Snowman, we do that stuff, but really, it's about Jesus. People that were very public in their faith, and I loved it. I felt like it was a kind of a magical kind of place where everyone could be Christian and no one was afraid. It was a very joyous place. A great surprise, I think, for the beginning of my Advent. And I thought, surely, this might be the best Advent I would ever have. But then I came back. And, you know, I have to admit that I kind of got caught up in all the normal things of the season and all the hurrying and all the things that you do. Pretty soon, it came time for all those penance services, and it's wonderful as a priest to be able to prepare everyone for Christmas, but I found that after hearing confessions for a couple hours in the morning, a couple hours in the afternoon, a couple hours in the evening, and doing that every day for like 7 days, that by the time I was done, you know, a lot of the priests were kind of looking at each other and were kind of beat, and I'm like, gosh, I'm worn out. I'm exhausted. Where's my Christmas spirit? I feel like it's gone. Perhaps, you know, you can share some of those feelings as you hurried and bustled about and attended all the Christmas parties and all the things that have to be done in Advent. And I felt very much like I had wrecked my Advent with all the things I was trying to do and not getting done. And I was kind of worried that, gosh, it started so well and now I was feeling kind of down. Everything seemed to be going wrong. And all, I kind of actually got mad at God. I'm like, God, what's going on? I was trying to have a good Advent, and here I am, and I don't feel very happy at all. I feel kind of depressed and worn out, and it's supposed to be Christmas. And I was kind of mad at God that would happen, but I knew, gosh, I had something to do with that. And I prayed that God would help me to have a good Christmas. And it was then that God kind of surprised me again. Because in my own kind of feeling down and out and a little depressed and lacking in Christmas spirit, I felt very much like I need help. God, please help me. I just want to adore you and worship you and understand the real meaning of your coming. I thought I had it at the beginning and now it's gone. And it was at that moment that I kind of realized that more than any kind of outward feeling of joy and jubilation and the right Christmas food, at that moment where I kind of felt a little helpless and just down, I realized how much I needed God. And then it hit me that, you know, I think that really is the meaning of Christmas, of Advent, to have that deep knowledge of how much we need God. Because if we don't have that, then there's really nothing to celebrate that God comes to be one of us. We have to be able to put ourselves in the context of that prophet Isaiah when he speaks about the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. We've got to understand and really live in the darkness in order to appreciate the light. I think that is one of the beautiful things about Midnight Mass. Because here we gather in the middle of the darkness at the darkest time of the year, when there is more night than any other day of the year at the winter solstice. And here we are in the midst of that dark, almost desiring to enter more into the darkness, but with great hope, in fact, surety that the light will come. That, I think, is the greatest joy we could ever have at Christmas. Because no doubt, maybe many of us here tonight are in that darkness. Maybe our lives this Advent, maybe this past year, have not been all filled with joy and stars. There's a lot of darkness in our world. Unemployment, families that are suffering, people everywhere you look, the hospitals, there's much darkness. But we don't shy away from the darkness. We are not a people that are afraid of the dark. That's why we're here tonight at midnight, in the middle of the darkness, to say we are not afraid. We hear the angel's voice, who, just as the angel came to the shepherds in the middle of the night and said, "Be not afraid." We are not afraid. For in the midst of the darkness, we have a great claim on a Savior. We need God. And it is only in the darkness, the depths of despair in our life, that maybe we really come to know that. And so tonight, as we gather, it's not that we doubt that the dawn will come, for surely it will. We know that tomorrow morning the sun will rise, but rather we gather here tonight sure of the dawn, hopeful and eager. We just can't wait. And so we gather at the first moments of Christmas Day to welcome our Savior. I pray that at this Christmas, if you find yourself in the dark, in the sadness of life, to know that is precisely at that moment that Emmanuel, God with us, inserts himself into our human drama. He is our Savior. And if we're going to have a Savior and celebrate his coming, we have to know that we need him. So in a strange and perhaps surprising way, I pray that tonight you know how much you need a Savior. And I pray that you also know with great surety that He is here. He is Emmanuel with us. As we celebrate the Eucharist tonight, just as the sun rises in the morning, the Eucharist rises for us at midnight, and we can say with great certainty that God is with us. Emmanuel, our Savior, has come down from heaven to be one of us, that we might be taken up to be with Him. May we allow God to surprise us tonight and every day with His coming.